I do believe that one-to-one conversation will always be a big part of marketing. Podcast episodes are obviously something that we're doing right now. If you think about an internal conversation or a keynote presentation, you know, like this dialogue that occurs, I think will always be a common element to really creating great content. And that's something that I don't think will change as much.
I'm Jonathan Gandolf, and welcome to the Content Cocktail Hour, powered by The Juice. Our mission is to squeeze out the deepest secrets of B2B marketing professionals to help you push your brand to the forefront of the industry. Let's raise a glass. Welcome back to the Content Cocktail Hour. I'm thrilled to be joined today by Tristan Pellegrino. Tristan, thank you so much for joining us. We were joking before I hit record, a bit of a marketing mogul, as I would like to call it, entrepreneur, agency owner, acquirer, and growing a very exciting business. Before I ramble any more about what you're up to, why don't, in your own words, you introduce yourself and what you're currently working on?
Well, Jonathan, I think the word mogul, that's debatable. But we were just talking as far as what the job title is. But now we have a holding company called Marketers in Demand, which I co-own. And then we have three agencies under that we run. One is Spoke, content writing agency. We have Motion, which is a video series and podcast agency. And then we have New North, which is more of our broad growth marketing agency. The one commonality across all of them is that we serve primarily the same ideal customer profile, which is that small, scrappy marketing team that's working with a company that's selling to other companies, a B2B organization. So that's how they're all connected. Being an agency owner and entrepreneur, that's really what it boils down to.
Well, excited to dive into maybe a little bit more of your background and serving small, scrappy marketing teams. That certainly resonates with us. But before we do that, it is the Content Cocktail Hour. We always like asking all of our guests, what are they enjoying drinking nowadays? I know it's bright and early when we're recording this one, but maybe not right at this moment. What are you enjoying nowadays?
I have coffee right now, but if you catch me at 4:30, 5 o'clock, it switches to something a little different. I will say, so I live in Richmond, Virginia, Jonathan, and I don't know if folks know, but craft beer is a big thing here in town. And I do like Triple Crossing, which is a brewery. I don't know if you've ever heard of that in Richmond. I have great IPAs, and that's kind of what I gravitate towards, mostly on the weekends, but every once in a while we'll get something during the week. But that's what it looks like for me. How about yourself?
I don't know if you know this. I actually founded a brewery prior to The Juice, actually like two stops prior to The Juice. It's based out of Cincinnati, Covington, Kentucky, technically. So also a big craft beer fan. Being in Kentucky, got the bourbon bug as well. A little bit of both there. Actually, interestingly enough, the Kelsey brothers just invested in Garage Beer, which was one of the brands that we started at Braxton Brewing Company. So it's been an exciting 2 weeks for that team and been fun to see that all take place. I've not been to Richmond, although we're changing that very soon. I have been out to Asheville, North Carolina, a great craft beer town as well. Yeah, lots of good beer out around you.
Yeah, I went to Asheville actually during COVID. A family, we went for July 4th, never been there. We found a house, you know, that was at the time where you just hang out with your family. The breweries there would allow you to come in, you have your mask on, but you're able to take your growlers away and drink them at your Airbnb. And that's what we did. So it's a good location for sure.
Well, cool. You mentioned serving small, scrappy marketing teams. It feels like everybody is a small and scrappy marketing team right now with some of the like macro pressures that are going on in the market. I think marketers, even big marketing teams, their budgets are decreasing or staying flat while goals are increasing. I'd be curious, like, what are the themes that you're seeing for those small, scrappy marketing teams? What separates a good scrappy marketing team from maybe marketing teams that are struggling with this kind of new era that we're in? What are some of the themes that you see some of the really good marketing teams doing and doing well?
You started with what is the theme that we're seeing across small, scrappy teams. I mean, it is very much, it's a cliche, but you know, marketers are tasked with doing more with less right now. I think everyone's seeing that across the board. And we have pressure from AI where you got leaders of organizations that are like, how can we turn to AI workflows to replace what we have in a W-2 salary, and how can we blend the two together to get more efficiencies? And we're seeing that pressure come really all over the place. But then we're also seeing goals and metrics and a lot of that. They're not being pulled back necessarily, and sometimes they're even getting increased and there's more pressure there. So it's like you have this graph where there's two lines going in opposite directions and people are being pulled in that way. So that's definitely a theme that we see. So with that as a given, it's probably like, well, why would we enjoy working with smaller teams? You know, this probably will help answer the question where you're like, what makes a successful, you know, small, scrappy marketing team? And I really do believe it's the ability to ship work and actually get things out into the market, to learn, to cycle that back through and just constantly evolve as a marketing team. Because one of the things that we tell a lot of our clients is, and even before we would sign an engagement, is, you know, marketing is not a switch or something that you just turn on for a month or two and then you pull back. Marketing is something that's really ingrained in your business. It has to be a core function, especially if you want to grow. It's just something that you constantly have to do and you have to build. And that's really where I see successful teams. They're committed to shipping work, creating content, trying different paid programs, trying different ABM strategies where they're going after a high tier segment of their audience, and they're trying just new things. And that's really what it's all about, because in many ways, everything works, but at the same time, none of it works unless you try it. So you have to really just go through the process there.
I love, like, just ship it, right? Like, I love that so much. We hosted an event last night with a few customers and prospects at Wrigley Field for a Cubs game. And one of the prospects, you know, we sell to marketers, so there's always like a very introspective crowd. They're like, so is this event going to be like positive ROI for you? And I was like, I do honestly, I think it will be for sure. But I was like, honestly, I don't know. I've kind of moved beyond the point of measuring each individual tactic like that specifically. Because like, even if that event wasn't positive ROI, I'm like, the alternative is we'd be sitting at home, like on our hands, not learning, not having conversations, not building relationships. Even if the event itself is negative ROI, there's learning that comes from that. There's relationships that come from that. Like, just getting out there. And I think similar to your point, just shipping it and learning from it. Even if that individual thing isn't successful, you'll build that momentum in the business of just moving, which I think is so critical, especially in this market.
Yeah, the one thing I've started doing, and I'm with you there, the attribution piece, you know, what's the ROI of an event or a trade show that I go to? If I do this podcast episode, will that lead to something? And I think the one thing that we're trying to encourage clients to think about is, if you're recording a podcast episode or writing a blog post, is that something that you would feel comfortable sending in a one-to-one email to a really highly valuable prospect? And would that provide value to them? And would it move them along further, perhaps, from working with you? And if that's your mindset, then I feel like you can get out of a lot of that attribution, just like lock, where you're unable to get out of it. Management's asking for reports, what's working, what's not. And I think you do almost have to get to that one-to-one level. Like, is this piece of content truly valuable? Does it spark a conversation? Does it lead to one of my most valuable prospects taking the next step? And if that's the case, I think you can alleviate some of that pressure that's involved.
Yeah, we feel the pressure all the time of, a lot of times what works for us inherently doesn't scale because it is so one-to-one, right? It's like a spreadsheet, some research, and then that one-to-one outreach. It's like, well, that's why it works, is because it isn't repeatable. It isn't copy and paste exercise. So I think that's really good feedback. You've mentioned a few times, you know, supporting clients. I am super curious for you. We have several agency partners that we work with. And I feel like the common theme I hear is like the inability to focus on their own brand because they're always focused on delivering work for their clients. You've got an interesting wrinkle in that you've even merged together several agency brands. I'm curious, how do you, as kind of the operator of this business, think about that balance between your own brand and the work and the brands that you're supporting as clients?
I think as a marketer, you always want to do more. You know, you never feel like you're doing enough. And as an agency owner, you know, we're working with a lot of clients. We're obviously investing a lot of time in their marketing programs, but we still do have to take the time to do our own marketing. I mean, it's something that's always going to be a balancing act. I don't know if we ever get it right. There's some quarters where we invest more, some we have to pull back a little bit because operationally we're making some adjustments. But I feel like the one constant piece to all of our agencies is that we have Marketers in Demand, which is our holding company. And that is really our media entity. And that's where we're creating all these different podcasts. And that is something that we've always just tried to have running. no matter what, we are producing shows, we are having conversations with folks that are in our space. That'll lead to more velocity than in some quarters versus others, but it just does give us this constant beat of the drum that we know we're always doing something. And if we're always having good conversations, we're either learning or we're creating content that can help some prospect or some customer within our environment. And that's really what's important to us. And, you know, this last quarter, we're refreshing two of our agency's websites, two brand new builds. That takes a lot of work. And sometimes you're not doing as much externally as what you would like to, but you know you are still doing some good work. So it's always a balancing act, Jonathan. I don't know if we'll ever truly figure it out, but you just try as hard as you can.
Yeah, I bet. I can't imagine that challenge. Two websites in one quarter. I feel like I've been overwhelmed by one website project, so I can't imagine managing two at the same time.
Been a lot.
You mentioned podcasting, you mentioned media company earlier. I know you guys also do a lot of video work. You're getting into text as well from podcast assets. We talked about AI just briefly earlier. You know, I feel like can't have a marketing conversation in 2024 without asking, where is this all going for content creators, brands? What are you consulting your clients on, kind of preparing for this rapid evolution in the future of where it's all going right now?
Yeah, I think there are a lot of interesting things happening right now. There are a lot of polarizing opinions out there, but I think the fact is AI is definitely having an impact on what we're doing, and it's changing so quickly, and we're seeing the progress, the quality of what it produces or what it summarizes, how it formulates information based on the inputs that you provide. And it's quite fascinating. I mean, we have a lot of internal discussions what that looks like. I'm actually creating a podcast, Jonathan, when we're exploring this a little bit more. I'm working on it right now. It's called Creative Operations. That's where we actually look at the workflows internally that you're creating. And that's where I'm going to focus, just because I think it is very important to marketing teams, especially when we look at small, scrappy marketing teams. You do have a lot of pressure, like we talked about, where you do have to really think about the resources that you have. And if you can have AI do some of that, those mundane tasks where you can focus on strategy and creativity, it unlocks a path to doing more with less. So that's the piece on AI that I think, as far as where we're headed, I don't really know. I think there's just like a lot of exciting things happening. It's scary in some ways, but I do think there's one thing that we can always rely upon as marketers, and those are conversations. So AI can summarize a conversation. You can have AI help you on the video editing side to spin out a lot of different pieces. There are a lot of different things that we'll be able to do. But I do believe that one-to-one conversation will always be a big part of marketing. Podcast episodes are obviously something that we're doing right now. If you think about an internal conversation or a keynote presentation, you know, like this dialogue that occurs, I think will always be a common element to really creating great content. And that's something that I don't think will change as much.
I'm in full agreement. I'm going to have to check out Creative Operations. So my kind of perspective on all of this has been, when Gen AI first became a thing a little over a year ago, I think the immediate fear was like, oh, this is coming for our jobs. This is going to be a big creation engine of content. I think we saw some of the early iterations of that content. It was like, yeah, this is maybe not what everybody wants. But I think it's become a huge operational efficiency. I think from a like data collection, aggregation, obviously insights from that data, very powerful. And from an operational efficiency perspective, very powerful. And I think AI supporting those two actually allows creatives to be more creative, because now they can apply AI properly to their processes. It actually gives them time back to be focus on the creative elements of kind of that full-on journey. So I'm excited to check that out, because we're still learning and trying to figure out where to apply AI. It's becoming much more of an operational tool than it is a marketing or like creative tool, at least for us at The Juice right now.
Yeah, and I think that's an interesting perspective, because one of our first episodes, and it'll probably be out in 3 to 4 weeks, but one of our first episodes is around a term called AI readiness. We brought on a fractional CMO that works with a cross-section of tech companies. But it is truly like exploring what's the process to integrating AI and kind of updating workflows, because there's always like this balance of testing and then implementing. You don't know which workflows to really focus your time on and which ones to replace with an AI tool, or is it a series of prompts? There's so many things that it's such a different concept for teams to figure out how to embed within their organization. And I think there's just a lot of teams trying to figure that out right now because it is quite different. I think that's a piece of it. It's one of our earlier episodes, and I'll make sure to send it to you when it comes out. It was a good discussion as far as how companies can almost get ready for implementing and adopting AI within their teams and what that looks like.
Yeah, I'll be fascinated to listen to that because I think you have to unlearn some habits and relearn new habits pretty fast. And I think there's a generation behind us that'll be trained on all of this growing up. I think very similar to the way like our generation has adopted to the internet quicker than the generation ahead of us, right? It's just, it's going to take some unlearning and relearning pretty quickly. And we're still trying to figure it out. And there's so much to sort through. I think that's half the battle is figuring out where to start. So excited to learn more about AI readiness. All right. We like asking all of our guests, what is one unpopular opinion you have as it pertains to B2B marketing or content?
One popular opinion right now that I don't like is that B2B is boring. I don't really subscribe to that notion. I think, and I'll be interested to hear your take on this, Jonathan. I think a lot of marketers on LinkedIn are selling to other marketers. I know you and I both are selling to marketers, but our clients, we work with a lot of clients that are in these really like niche industries, and they're not selling to other marketers. And I think a lot of companies get hung up on, I have to do something so out of the box that's going to stand out on LinkedIn, and they lose sight of like, does this thing actually help your customers? Is it actually valuable to them? I just go back to my earlier days in tech. I worked for big companies, IBM and Oracle. I was a consultant. I did a lot of boring stuff. And I remember a lot of content that I consumed that was probably the most boring white papers that you've ever seen. I loved it because it helped me do my job. And that's really what I was looking for at the time. And it was very specific to me. And that leads me to my next point. I think B2B is boring for a lot of people because it's not specific to them. People lose sight of that. Like they'll critique a homepage, or they'll do a teardown of a video or a campaign from someone else. And it's like, that's great that you think it's boring and it didn't have an impact, but it's also quite possibly not for you at all. And so it's not specific to you. So I'm sure it missed the mark. And so we don't typically start there with our clients. It's like, look, we need a baseline of content. We need a foundation. We need to build layers to this. When you start an engagement or a relationship with a client, it's not like, hey, how can we make a splash on LinkedIn, get 500 likes, get people talking about us, and then fade away? That's just not going to work. We're more about a consistent drumbeat versus this big gong that you hit out there on LinkedIn, and people are like, oh, they took over the feed today, and that's great. It's just like, I don't really subscribe to that process at all. I've never really found it work for me. It does work for some people, but you have to pick a path, and that's not really what we're trying to do.
I agree with you. I think, you know, B2B is boring. I'm also seeing this like XYZ playbook is dead. Outbound is dead is a good example. I always say outbound isn't dead. Like your outbound's just lazy and uninspired. Good execution still works no matter the channel or the playbook. Same thing with the B2B is boring. I think your example of like reading these boring white papers, but they're tailored to you. That's some of the coaching we give our customers all the time, is asking what sort of content to produce. And I think it's always like sexy and trendy and fun and exciting to do the thought leadership that's about, you know, the future of AI and XYZ. But like so often when B2B professionals are consuming content, it's because they want to be better at their job. They're not doing it to read up on the latest trends. They're doing it because they have an acute pain point and they want to be better at the basics. They either are trying to up-level themselves, or they've been asked about something and they're feeling this intense pressure to educate themselves on something very quickly. And we see that in our data as well, that whether it's a template or whether it's content that's helpful and actionable and very tactical, that's what works. And I think you're so right that like to somebody who's not in that role, sure, it probably looks boring from the outside, but you know, I think Star Wars content looks boring from the outside if I'm not like in Star Wars mode, right? You have to, if you're in the seat at that time, figuring out how to solve a problem in your role is very, very exciting, no matter how it's delivered or who it's delivered by. And so I think that good quality content is not boring. So I'm in agreement with your disagreement of the popular opinion.
I think we got that puzzle figured out. Yeah. And I hope that's what you were going for. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of where I stand on that area.
Well, Tristan, if people want to learn more about you, what you're working on, the businesses you're helping build and grow, what's the best way to do that?
Yeah, the best way to find me is on LinkedIn. I think I still am the only Tristan Pellegrino that's on LinkedIn so far. So that's where I like to connect with people. You know, I try to post regularly there, you know, 2-3 times a week. And then that leads me to some of the other activities that I'm doing. If folks want to check out a website, I would encourage you to go to marketersindemand.com. That's where we release all of our different podcast episodes. There's a newsletter that we release 1 to 2 times per month. And that kind of gets everyone up to speed with the different types of B2B marketers that we're talking to, like yourself, and just really, you know, everyone in the industry that's trying different things. And the one thing that we do try to do, Jonathan, with Marketers in Demand and the shows that we produce, we do try to interview folks that you don't always hear from, not the usual suspects that are out there. We try to dig deeper, find people in organizations that are really hands-on with some of the activities that are going on. We like to pull in their perspectives just to round things out a little bit. So a lot of the episodes that you'll see, probably from a lot of folks you may have never come across before. And we like to think that's a good thing.
That's awesome. I love that concept. We will get all of those links, including the one and only Tristan Pellegrino LinkedIn link in the show notes here. Tristan, thank you so much for joining us today. To all of our listeners, watchers, subscribers, thank you for joining the Content Cocktail Hour. We'll see you at the same time next time. Cheers. Thank you for joining the Content Cocktail Hour powered by The Juice. If you want to see more episodes or more resources curated for your role, join us on app.thejuicehq.com. See you next time. Same time, same place. Cheers.